Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe, text number 30. Tasya daityapate putras. Chatvara para mad bhuta. Parado bhun mahams tesham. Kunar mahat upasaka. Tasya Hiranyakashipu, of him, Hiranyakashipu. Daityapate, the king of the Daityas. Putra, sons. Chatvara, four. Parama Adbhuta, very qualified and wonderful. Parada, the one named Prahlad. Adbhut was Mahan, the greatest. Tesham, of all of them. Gunai, with transcendental qualities. Mahat Upasaka, being an unalloyed devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Hiranyakashipu had four wonderful, well-qualified sons, of whom the one named Prahlad was the best. Indeed, Prahlad was a reservoir of transcendental qualities because he was an unalloyed devotee of this personality of Godhead. Purport. Yasyasti bhaktira bhagavata kinchana Savarganas tatra samasite svara. In one who has unflinching devotion, faith to Krishna, all the good qualities that Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest. Bhagavatam 5.18.12. Prahlad Maharaj is praised herein for having all good qualities because of worshipping the personality of Godhead. Therefore, a pure devotee who has no motives has all good qualities, material and spiritual. If one is spiritually advanced, being a staunch, liberal, devotee of the Lord, all good qualities are manifest in his body. On the other hand, harava bhaktasya kuto mahaguna. If one is not a devotee, even if one has some materially good qualities, they have no value. That is the verdict of the Vedas. Tasya daitya pate putras chatvara paramad bhutaha parado bhun amahamstesham kunar mahat upasaka. Hiranyakashipu had four wonderful, well qualified sons, of whom the one named Prahlad was the best. Indeed, Prahlad was a reservoir of all transcendental qualities because he was an unalloyed devotee of the personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Anaditvam nirgunatvat paramatmayam avyayam shariyarastopikantaya nakarotina navidyate. Now, those who can see with the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of material nature. Despite contact with the material body, or Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything nor is he entangled. That is, all of us, we're not doing anything, nor are we entangled. That everyone is Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Saru Kavanoi Shravanadi Shudakichite Korya Udai. Everyone is actually Nitya Siddha. Any questions? Although we may be Nitya Siddhas by nature, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Saru Kavanoi, somehow or another, we're influenced by ignorance. And therefore we think ourselves to be temporary manifestations of the material energy. So what's the difference? The difference is where the desires are directed. One is directing one's desires in the material world, and one comes under the influence of the material energy. As it says, that Maya is right next to us. Is that Krishna Bahir Mukha Bhagavan Chatare Nikatasta Tare Japatiyadare? That as soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, Krishna Bahir Mukha Bhoga Vancha Tare, and want to enjoy the material energy, Nikatasta, Maya is a very close relative of ours. She's originally Srimati Radharani, so she's also one of our in conditioned life. She's Durga. She's the head of the fortress. She maintains us, our mother. Maya is also Ma, mother, Mother Durga. And she's right next to us and say, all right, you want to be a Maya? No worries, we can arrange that. And immediately she slaps us into the material energy. On the other hand, if one is Mahatmanas Tumam Parata, Daivim Prakriti Mashitya, Bhajantnanyanya Manaso, Gyatva Bhutadim Avyam. If one is under the spell of the material, spiritual energy, then one becomes a great soul. Now, everyone is actually a great soul, but it's not manifested under the influence of the illusory energy. And to become a great soul, what does one have to do? Distribute 2,000 books every week. Eat 5 plates of prasadam every day. No. Sadatam kirtayantomam yitantas chadrida vritaha namasyantas mam bhakta nityukta upasate. Simply one has to chant Hare Krishna. Sadatam kirtayantomam. But sadatam, always chant Hare Krishna. And it has to be Hare Krishna. It can't be snick snick, ram ram, day 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 day, hey kitty kitty, hey kitty kitty. It actually has to be Hare Krishna. And how do we know if we're chanting Hare Krishna? Well, if we don't know if we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're probably not chanting Hare Krishna. Because if we were chanting Hare Krishna, we'd definitely know we were chanting Hare Krishna. That if we're chanting, we should hear ourselves chanting, sincerely calling out to be engaged in the loving service of Radha and Krishna. So we should happily chant, lovingly chant, longingly chant, to engage in their service. Like a child calling for his mother, Prabhupada said. And it should be always, Sadatam Kirtayantamam, that when we do our battle, like there's boxing matches, they have rounds. You know, first round, second round. Anyone ever seen a boxing match? You know, so the first round, we go out to fight with Maya, first round of japa. And immediately Maya goes, whack, and we go, we get knocked out in the first round. But we have to fight with Maya all day long. Not exactly fight with Maya, we have to surrender to Krishna. We're already fighting with Maya all day long. And therefore one has to learn how to control the mind by fixing it on Krishna, always. Controlling the mind doesn't mean, oh, my mind is going away, oh. Bring it back. It's back. No. No, controlling the mind means that to put it on Krishna. That's Krishna will control our mind. If one has conquered the mind, the super soul is our reach. If one is thinking of Krishna, then Krishna will conquer the mind for us. And namasyantasramam Sadatam kirtiyanta omam yitantas cha dreda vrataha. And do one's activities with, in Krishna consciousness, with determination, not becoming distracted. Sinishchayana yuktavyo yoga nirvana chetasaha sankalpa pravangas tyakva sarvam tyakva sheshataha manaksavendriya gramam zvinyanya samantata. One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with undeviating determination and faith. One should control the senses on all sides for the mind, and thus think of the self alone. No, that's not right. And thus control all the senses on all sides for the mind. So it requires a certain amount of determination. We know what to do. We have the intelligence. You don't have to go over it again and again. Chant Hare Krishna. Oh, wow, really? I never heard that before. Really? What am I supposed to do? Chant Hare Krishna. Oh, okay, I'll try it today, see if it works. So we have the intelligence. We know what to do. We know why we're supposed to do it, especially if you've been in class for 300,000 times. You heard why we're supposed to chant Hare Krishna. And the next thing, we may have a little skill in how to chant, because we may have somehow or another chanted Hare Krishna properly sometimes. But that determination, that conviction that I should always do it, that when my mind wanders, which, well, our minds sometimes wander to Krishna, but we're talking about when we become a little bit more advanced and our mind wanders away from Krishna, then we have the conviction to bring it back, the determination. Mike goes, no, you're having a good time. It's not even over. We haven't even got to the best part. And we want to draw, you're going to miss the end scene? You're going to miss the climax of the whole thing? Wait a second. Just wait a little while. You know, you're almost there. To draw the mind, no, forget it, Maya. Zip! Back to Krishna. That takes determination and conviction that actually I've been through this before. It's always been the same scene. I'm always winding up disappointed and frustrated. So what makes you think this time it's going to be anything different? Punak punas charvata charvanana. The cow is in the street and there's some sugar cane. It picks it up in its mouth and starts chewing. Chew, 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 and then spits it out. And another cow comes along and says, oh, that's remnants of my favorite cow. Let me try it out too, get his mercy. Picks it up and chews and chews and chews. Nothing is there. Spit it out. And another cow comes along and says, oh, remnants of the topmost cows. Let me get a little sweetness. And chews and chews. So all day long it's the same sugar cane spit out on the ground. And some other cow is coming to pick it up and trying to get some sugar from it, some juice from it. But there is no juice. It's punak punas charvatam charvanam. Simply chewing the chewed. So one has to become convinced that at some point to draw the mind away from material consciousness and put it back on Krishna again. Without masuchaha, without anxiety that if I take my mind away from this important subject matter, then somehow or another there's going to be a big loss to the world. To be convinced that Krishna will take care of everything. Ananyas chintayanta omam. Itantas chadrida vrataha, drida vrataha. That if one is serving Krishna with drida vrataha, ananyas chintayanta omam, thinking of Krishna, ananyas chintayanta omam, ye jana paripasate, tesham nitya biyuktanam, yoga shemam vahamyaham. Then Krishna will actually carry what we lack and preserve what we have. There won't be any loss. So Prahlad Maharaj was a great devotee because he was thinking of Krishna. And therefore, he was under the internal energy of Krishna and his activities were that of an perfect instrument for Krishna. Ninamitta matram bhavasavasachan. We don't have to do something else. We don't have to figure out artificially how to act like a pure devotee. We hear a pure devotee cry, so we go to drama school and we learn how to cry. And the kirtan, oh, Krishna. And they, wow, you made a lot of advancement. Yeah. The drama school is only $50 an hour. You should go there too. You can cry for Krishna too. And I also learned how to shiver. I got the whole thing down. But that will not help us anything more that if a lady is not pregnant, but she learns how to make the sounds of giving birth. So she make the sounds all the time, but nothing is going to happen. So it's not a question of just artificially imitating, but if we actually become Krishna conscious, then naturally all the good qualities will manifest themselves. Because that's what Krishna will do. They manifest from the soul, they manifest from the super soul. They manifest because Krishna, under the internal energy, one's activities become spiritualized. And at the same time, when the soul is actually in contact with Krishna, the soul is also awake. And therefore his activities manifest not only when the signs of ecstasy are actually the signs of the soul in contact with Krishna. And when the soul is in contact with Krishna, then the mind becomes the heirs of light. Well, actually, the mind becomes filled with ecstasy, and that ecstasy influences the heirs of life, which influence the elements which manifest themselves in the different sattvika, bhavas, and etc. Vyabhichari bhaktis, vibhavas, etc. They're all manifested by the soul in contact with Krishna, the mind becoming spiritualized, energized, which disturb the life eras, which disturb the elements. If the element of air is disturbed, then there's trembling. If the element of water is manifested, there's perspiration and tears in the eyes. If the element of earth is agitated, then one becomes stunned. So in this way, the sattvika bhavas are manifested by the relation between the soul and the super soul and their consequent influence on the material, on the spiritual, on what we consider the material energy, on the body, on the life eras, on the mind, etc. They all become manifested externally in the form of shivering and tears in the eyes, etc. As well as, if one becomes Krishna conscious, dovetail with Krishna, then one will have all the good qualities of Krishna. Just like if you put the iron in the fire, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and eventually becomes just like fire. So the more we're under the influence of the internal energy, the more we're in the fire, then the more our activities are just like fire. Just like spiritualized. Itaidam so samrido ganira basmat sakuru terajana ganagni sarvakarmani basmat sakuru te tata. Just like the blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, so does the fire of transcendental knowledge burn to ashes all the reactions of our previous activities. So Prahlad is one of our Mahajans. Swayambhura, Narada, Shambhu, Prahlado, Kapilo, Manu. Actually, there was one before that. Swayambhura, Narada, Shambhu, Prahlado, Kapilo, Manu, Prahlado, Janaka, Bhishmo, Vayir, Vayasakir, Vayam. So Prahlad is one of our Mahajans because, first of all, in the womb of his mother, he was able to make spiritual progress. Now, as a matter of fact, for 9 months, the only thing he had to do was hear Narada Muni's instructions. He wasn't distracted by anything. There was nothing to be distracted from. He was in a perfect position. If you want to have a perfect lockdown, if you hear about Krishna, you can't get a better lockdown than being in the womb of your mother and hearing about Krishna. So he heard for 9 months at least about Krishna, and when by the time that he came out, then all he could do was think about Krishna. So he was although he was a partial sadhana, nitya siddha, he was also partial sadhana siddha. He took birth as a nitya siddha, but he was doing sadhana in the womb of his mother. Now we have to leave our body, we don't become perfect. Let's pray to Krishna that we, in the womb of our mother, we don't waste the 9 months, but that we do sadhana there. We get a guru like Narada Muni to speak to us, to preach to us, instruct us in the womb of the mother, and we take birth, we're nitya siddhas. May not happen, but anyhow, somehow or another we have to catch up on the Krishna consciousness now and in the future. So like Prahlad Maharaj, we can constantly think about Krishna, not get distracted. But that's only possible when one gradually gets a higher taste. Right now we have a taste for so many material things because of our past experience. And what is the reason why people get entangled, why the soul gets entangled? Because he's curious. He's thinking, well, there's strawberry, there's vanilla, there's chocolate. Of course we don't eat chocolate. but with carob. So what does it taste like? There's so many varieties. As Vishwamrita Muni was thinking, yes, I've been meditating here for 60,000 years. Those ankle bells, it's probably an apsara. You know, maybe she was one of my friends on Facebook. Maybe I'll just take a peek and see. He opened his eyes out of curiosity, and the rest is history. So everyone is simply curious. Vishwamrita Muni. You know Vishwamrita Muni? You know who Vishwamrita Muni was? No. He was a great sage. He was a Kshatriya, and he wanted to become a Brahmin. So he knew that by austerity you can get anything in the material world. Money will only get you so many things here, but austerity can get you anything you want. So he sat down in meditation for 60,000 years. But Indra was thinking that why is this sage meditating? Obviously he must want to get something from it. No one sits for 60,000 years in meditation without some desire to get something. So Indra is always fearful that someone is doing austerity because they want his post. So he decided he has super weapons. Weapons of mass destruction. So he sent one of them. She was an apsara. Her name was Urvashi. Actually, the first one was Menaka. I'm sorry. Menaka. Urvashi is another class of apsara. She came from Nara Narayan. She's the topmost apsara. So he sent her, and his eyes were closed in meditation. So the only thing he became aware of her presence when he heard her ankle bells. So he decided just to take a peek. He wasn't going to do anything. He was just going to say hello and go back to meditation. But when he saw her, as the mafia says, at least in America they say it, give them a deal they can't refuse. So this was a deal he just could not refuse, and he wasted 100 years. And he had a daughter, her name was Shakuntala, a famous beauty and son of Menaka, a daughter of Menaka and Vishwamrita Muni. So, the only way of overcoming our material desire is to get a higher taste. And therefore, devotional service is a way of getting a higher taste. Otherwise, to become self-realized takes many, many lifetimes. But if one can concentrate the mind upon Krishna in some devotional activity, and Krishna is pleased by our sincerity, wanting to please him, then the result is Krishna reveals himself, and Krishna is the highest taste. Gyanam gayam ganam gamya riddhi sarvasya vishtitam. He is knowledge, he is the object of knowledge, he is the goal of knowledge, he is situated in everyone's heart. So when we become conscious of Krishna, then everything else seems insignificant in comparison to the happiness of becoming conscious of Krishna. Then one can make progress. As gradually the happiness increases, then the attraction for material, becoming dissuaded by the material mind to become thinking about other things, feeling about other things, and willing to experience other things diminishes proportionally. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. It's interesting that Srila Prabhupada always brings up Vishwamitra Muni to illustrate the weakness of the yoga process. Vishwamitra Muni seems to have become a rather prominent person. Even our Gayatri is descending through him. He's the Rishi. And he's one of the seven great sages. Doesn't he feel uncomfortable that you keep bringing him up in every second purport as an example of an unsuccessful yogi?
Well, we remind him of the good old days. ultimately he was successful, so therefore all things that end well, all things, what is that saying? all things are well. So ultimately, he was successful. He became a Brahmin. So it's not a bad ending. I don't know. You have to, if you ask, find Vishwamitra Muni, you can ask him. If your name was constantly mentioned in the Bhagavatam class, would you feel bad about it? What's that?
Depends in which context.
Well, how you ultimately became a Brahmin. Your story of how you became a Brahmin. I mean, anyone who can sit in meditation for 180,000 years, I mean, you can't say it's a bad, you know, they did something. It was criticizing them. I mean, who can sit in meditation for 180,000 years? It's quite a compliment. Shows his determination. And also great devotees, they become a little humble when they hear, like Jamunacharya, Yadavadi mama cheta krishna padara vinde nava nava rasa damanyu yatam ratumasi. So they become humble actually when they hear about these things. Even Srimati Radharani is humble. So humility is not a discouragement actually. One doesn't become, oh, this made you humble. Oh, I don't want to be humble. No, actually, it's people, they realize that my advancement in spiritual life, or even material life, is due to the fact that I became humble. So it's an asset rather than a disqualification. Similarly, when a devotee falls down, they're really not the object of derision, because it's part of the process to become humble. The more they become defamed, the more they become humble, the more they make spiritual advancement. If they take it in the right way. Anything else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In the lecture, there were mentioned Mahajanas, and I have a question regarding to Mahajanas. If I remember also Narada Muni is Mahajana. And Narada Muni is also Shiva's Pandit, so why not Shiva's Pandit is also not Mahajana? I don't understand. It's the same soul in the... Or how... I cannot understand properly about Mahajanas. Like great souls.
Well, that's Narada Muni there, so he's a Mahajan.
But we address him as Shiva's Pandit.
Well, you can tell Shiva's Pandit Mahajan. You can also say that.
But it's not specially mentioned in any purport or...
Well, Srimad Bhagavatam we're getting is coming from a conversation, especially 5,000 years ago, between Suta Goswami or the sages of Namrsharanya. This is where it's coming to us. So Srivasa Thakur and the Panchatattva only appeared 500 years ago, not 5,000 years ago.
Thank you for clearing this.
Anything else? Radhika.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. I want to ask you, why Prahlad, such a holy person, was in some way son of so big demon?
Well, I think I told that story before, that Hiranyakashipu at one time and went for meditation to get for austerities to control the universe. And while him and his brother Hiranyakashipu were doing the meditation, actually it must have been, because I mean it's hard to tell time it there. Anyhow, they were doing their meditation, and the demigods became very fearful that Hiranyakashipu is going to do this meditation with his brother, and it's going to disturb the universe. So Narada Muni was there with Parvati, and they said, don't worry, we'll take care of it. So Narada Muni and Parvati came as sparrows near where Hiranyakashipu was doing his meditation. And as soon as he was, I don't know if his brother was there also, but at least he was doing the meditation. And then the sparrows started to, on the top of their voices, started to shout out, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I guess maybe, and Hiranyakashipu became very angry.
and took up a rock and threw it at the birds and they flew away. And then he went back to meditation. The birds came back again and they were shouting at the top of their lungs, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hiranya Kashyapu took up another rock and threw it at the birds and they flew away. And then he went back to meditation. The birds came back. So all day long, he was trying to meditate, and the birds were shouting out, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So he said, well, it's the end of the day. It's been a very bad day. So he went home, and all he could hear in his head was, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So he decided to enjoy with his wife that night. And so while he was enjoying, he conceived a child, Prahlad Maharaj, while he was chanting in his mind, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So because he was in Krishna consciousness during conception, therefore a great devotee like Prahlad was born.
But this contrast between them have some deeper meaning or something.
What was that?
Because Prahlad was a so holy person and Hiranyakashipu. So important
human. Yeah, well, if you're going to be a big man, you might as well have a big father. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Hiranyakashipu was also, he was Jaya Vijaya. He was from the spiritual world. I mean, he was special. At least sometimes there were actually demons, but in this particular millennium when Hiranyakashipu appeared, they were especially empowered. Otherwise, how can you sit in meditation, have the ants eat your skin, your flesh, and everything, unless you're super empowered by Krishna? So the idea is when you fall down from the spiritual world, you don't fall down to become an ant. You fall down to something special, like a Brahma or a demigod. Or in this case, he fell down as a super empowered demon like Hiranyakashipu. So it was Krishna's arrangement for the pastime. Gave Krishna an opportunity to fight against, you know, a suitable combatant. Or as Prabhupada said, that why did he fight? Because Krishna wanted some exercise, so he decided to fight against some demons. So he comes down to his Prabhupada said, just to keep the body fit. And at the same time, the pastime was there to kill him. He had a son like Prahlad so that he could harass Prahlad and Krishna would have some reason to come and kill him and liberate him for the next birth.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.